I'd like to invite Giles Lane. He's an artist, a designer, a researcher, and a founding director of Proboscis, a creative studio based in London, UK, where he has been director there for 17 years, and he has recently been elected a fellow of the Royal Society of Arts in the United Kingdom. So Giles, welcome to Sydney, and welcome to the symposium.
Thanks, Juan.
I will use the Matthew Connell technique of alerting you when your time is coming.
Great, thank you. Okay, it's a long way to travel to try and condense everything that we do into 15 minutes, so I will do the best that I can. This is an interesting space to be in for a number of reasons. In the notes for this presentation, the title I gave was Oblique Devices. My first sentence about the issues like climate change is that we do not address these kinds of issues head on. That's not the way that we work. That's not the way that we engage people. A lot of our work is about enticing, challenging people. And we often have to do it through a process of subterfuge and subversion. So I've been wondering, what is it that I, in particular, and the organisation I represent, Proboscis, what is it that we have to offer to the world of museology, museums, and in particular this theme around climate change? Obviously, it's something we're all involved in. And I'm probably going to show you if there's time, I'm going to show a short film. Which we made. It's a single screen piece that we made for a video festival in Brazil about 18 months ago. And I guess it's an example of the kind of multiple layering of the way that we work. It's a single screen art piece. It's a film, it's an experimental video, but it also in some ways is a document of the piece of work that I think probably is the reason why I'm here, which is a project we did 4 years ago now called Snout. It was one of a series of projects that we'd done investigating environmental sensing in a social community site. It was the second project that we specifically did with environmental sensors. And then mapping the ability of the kind of what then was just beginning to be called citizen science, to local knowledges and to the emergent digital platforms, what we now all think of as sort of Web 2 and geographic information systems and smartphones. None of this stuff was really, I mean, it kind of existed, but only in a very rarefied state. And so I guess I'm also trying to think about what it is that we have to offer as artists, because to be honest, you know, we're 10 years ahead of the curve on this. And that's our role. Our role is to push the boundaries. So for me, it's kind of interesting that after doing this kind of work for the last 10 or so years, it's now's the point where museums will start to adopt, co-opt, adapt the kind of experimental practices that we've been involved in. But of course, they won't ask us. They will go to a very nice, posh, expensive agency who will charge them a fortune to do what we do on no money at all. And that's the role of artists. Let's be really clear here. We will not be being invited by the Science Museum to come in, and even though we are the ones who sort of, you know, push the boundary on these kinds of experimental practice, that's not our role. Our role is not to do the kind of, you know, glossy, slick, hands-on museum pieces that 50,000, 100,000, a million people will touch. That's, you know, I'm absolutely clear that I'm not the kind of person to do that. But what we are good at is kind of thinking about what will you need to be thinking about 10 years from now. And I think that's what artists are particularly good at. I also talk in the little blurb I wrote about what is it that artists offer. And I think, and certainly I feel, that what I offer is dissent. In fact, if you work with us, you know, we're guaranteed not to agree with you. And that's a promise. I think that's a really important space to occupy. It's not a comfortable space. A lot of people don't like it. They find it uncomfortable. We often find it uncomfortable. But I feel it's a really valuable role to take on in society, in the way in which creative people, whether they call themselves artists, writers, musicians, whatever, we're often there to kind of ask the difficult questions in a way that necessarily does not always have to be confrontational and provocative. But of course, art is, this is one of the great tropes of art, and particularly visual art, but also writing and other formats. So I think dissent and not seeking consensus about promoting diversity. We've had a lot of this, you know, I've been writing loads and loads of buzzwords that I've been hearing. But there's a couple of things about what we, in particular Proboscis, does. And I think one of the ways that we tend to approach the issues that we're talking about today is we're trying to create a process of co-discovery. We're trying to understand how people can engage in their own processes of discovery and learning. They can do it with professionals and also within their own communities. And I think what these bring to the culture and society that we occupy are what I would describe as uncommon insights. I think that's what we have to offer. The sort of the promise, if you like, of not seeking to kind of smooth and gloss things over, but to find things which are uncommon, that we're not expecting, and that are often quite troubling and not easy to pigeonhole and put away. And this is why I really enjoyed Mike's keynotes and discussions yesterday. I very rarely hear that kind of voice in academia. I'm a academic mudit. I don't do well in institutions. I find myself feeling very allergic to them after a short while. I think that's probably a lot to do with my sort of self-style approach to innovation and invention, exploration. I don't find those kind of structures very conducive to kind of far-ranging, wide-ranging exploration that I'm often involved in. Though, having said that, Proboscis, we do an awful lot of research work in partnership with other academics, many of whom are great friends and people I respect. And in fact, we are quite unusual in that we are the only artist-led, nationally acknowledged independent research organisation in the UK. The only other contemporary art organisation with that status is Tate. So there's a difference in scale of Proboscis with, you know, 2, 3, no more than 10 people at a time, and Tate, which is this sort of, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds operation. So I think there are some really interesting issues around scale, around maneuverability, and in terms of thinking about, well, what can we as artists offer? And it's interesting to be styled as ever as a provocateur, which I think is part of this process. So I'm just going to speak very briefly about a new program that we're developing. It's called Public Goods, a Survey of the Commonwealth. It's partly a response to the extraordinary social and political changes going on in the UK at the moment, where we have a government with no electoral mandate, basically attempting to sell off the UK's public asset infrastructure. And so, you know, in the way, as I say, we don't address these issues head on, I don't see any value in attacking the government over this. So my approach as an artist is to think, well, how do we sidestep this? How do we sidestep that and come at it from an oblique angle? And our approach is to think about, well, what are the intangible assets that are the social glue of society? If we do lose the forests, if we do lose the public library systems, then how are we to approach these issues? How could we perhaps reframe the discussion away from a confrontational, binary, you know, this is good, that's bad approach? So as part of this, we're developing a new research unit, which is going to be called the Public Goods Lab. It'll be both an R&D unit to support in developing tools and techniques, which is something we've done over the past decade. But it'll also be to kind of develop its own research agenda and its own research trajectory to try and influence the public engagement projects we do through the Public Goods Lab. I brought this up because what has happened in the last few weeks is we've been invited by the British Library to propose to have the Public Goods Lab as a living lab inside the British Library in a public space. So this is kind of unusual. There aren't really many other institutions we're aware of where there is an example of an artist group coming in to do active research in a public space, bringing together the public, other practitioners, other experts. So we don't know if this is going to happen yet, but I think this might be the kind of model you're looking for. This might be the model where if you want to actually engage people, if you want to build relevance into people's everyday lives, we have to find ways to actually involve them in the co-discovery. And I think research is an active process. It should not be locked up away in labs. I think we are seeing an extraordinarily fast shucking off of 1,000+ years of tradition and culture in universities and institutions like museums of knowledge, manufacture, and gatekeeping. And I use those words very specifically. I think there is an opportunity now to see a greater understanding that all humans are involved in the process of identifying, co-creating, co-discovering, and sharing knowledge. And I'm very excited to hear and see lots of museums engaging in the use of social media technologies and other ways where in which the authoritative voice that the museum has for the last couple of 100 years generally spoken with, though of course not exclusively, is beginning to soften, is beginning to be challenged and questioned internally. About 8 years ago, I gave a presentation at a conference in London for the Computers and History of Art. It was the Computer and History Art Conference of that particular society of museum professionals involved in the growth of the use of computing and computing not just in terms of databases, but also in terms of the practice of computing being used in everyday life. And one of the things we said at that time was that what we now call smartphones, but of course weren't called that in those days, we were saying to them, this stuff is coming. The technologies are here, the networks are here. The networks are already broadcasting, if you like, but that is of course the wrong word, technically. They are broadcasting a wireless signal into your institutions, which people can tap into to access alternative voices, alternative interpretations of the materials which you are presenting. And we just wanted to point this out to you. We wanted to put to the curators in the space, and that this represents, in our view, an opportunity and a challenge. An opportunity to begin to engage with people in new ways, but also a challenge to your own practices as curators and as museum professionals. This went down like a bucket of sick. We were accused of proposing to do museum professionals out of a job and of dumbing down, and I had to sort of keep pushing back and saying, this is not about a desire, this is about a reality. Of course, we now live that reality. I suspect almost everybody here, probably 80% of people in the room, will have a smartphone that is internet-enabled in their pocket as we speak. You could be probably even looking up on the internet the presentation which I gave. It's there if you want to find it. And we're becoming very, very quickly fluent with these very different ways of interacting with each other and with institutions. And I think what we have to offer as artists is the ability to kind of think forward. So we were doing that about 8-10 years ago. That kind of stuff is everyday. It's irrelevant. It's not even particularly interesting anymore. But so for us, I think the thing is to move on to the next things. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to show this film. This film is an art piece about another performance piece around environmental work. It's 3 minutes long, so I'm sorry if I run over, but you know, come 10,000 miles, might as well. Might as well get your money's worth. And it is an artistic piece in and of itself, rather than documentation. So if you're interested in any of it, and it's not an explanatory piece, then please feel free to talk to me afterwards.